Lord, we do praise your name. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You deserve our praise. Lord, you deserve our praise because you gave us breath, gave us life. You deserve our praise, Lord, because you gave us new life and new birth. And we thank you for guaranteeing our place with you forever through your death and resurrection on our behalf. So we ask this morning, Lord, as we begin a new month, as we begin a new series of messages, that your Holy Spirit would govern our time, that your Holy Spirit would inspire our hearts, open our eyes, refresh our spirits, do what you do, and that is, Lord, be our companion, our comforter, our coach, our guide. And we thank you for the blessing of assembling together today in your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've been captured by a love I can't explain. And now you have me, and I'm forever changed. They could have stopped right there. Y'all could have stopped right there, because that is an amen that is so deeply connected to my soul. That is a testimony. That's what it's all about. That's, in two sentences, what Christianity is all about. That's the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he sent his son so that all of us could be captured, not to be oppressed, not to be dominated, not to be ruled over like a tyrant, not to have our joy snatched away, not to live some boring life. You were captured by a love that I can't explain, but I keep trying. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, week after week, writing after writing, I keep trying to explain it, but I can't. You keep trying to explain it, but you can't. Start talking to somebody if you only knew, but you can't, just can't describe it. It is indescribable, and in fact, the scripture says it is unimaginable. It's unimaginable, so of course, we're not going to be able to explain it. If you can't imagine it, how can you explain something you can't even imagine? But it is as real as all of us sitting here, standing here today. It is as real as our presence in this room. It is as real as the seat that you're sitting on. And I thank God for it, that I have the privilege and the opportunity and the desire to keep on trying to explain it. Amen. So this month, our theme is the church. And that's not as dry a theme as it may sound. I know it sounds kind of dry, and I know it sounds like, okay, the church sounds very doctrinal, very heady, and so, okay, let's see where this goes. But I want to tell you that it's not only is it not dry, as it may sound, it's fascinating, because what we're going to see as we go through this study of the church is that the church is about people. And people are the most fascinating, interesting thing on the planet, because they're unpredictable, they're creative, they are destructive, they're inspiring, they're shocking, charming, and grotesque. And as 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such were some of you. So all those kinds of people have filtered into the church. All of us were at one time or another captured by the evil one, slaves of darkness. But what 1 Corinthians 6 goes on to say is that you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified. Something happened to you. Something happened to me. Oh, yes, sometimes we still are grotesque. Yes, we are. Sometimes we do just dabble in things that we were at one time. But just because you dabble in what you were, that doesn't mean that you are still that. You are something different, and what you are is washed, sanctified, justified. That is who you are. We don't always behave that way, but that's who Jesus has made us. And he has touched each life of those who have come to know him and brought them from these places, destructive, unpredictable, inspiring, shocking, charming, grotesque. Those are the ones Jesus came to love. That's the world Jesus came to save. That's the world that Jesus came to capture with his love, in a way that makes it inexplicable for them. That's where we are. That's who you are. That's what the church is. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and he didn't just redeem us and save us from hell. He also adopted us and made us a part of his family. He didn't just parole us from prison. He said, come on home with me. Live with me forever. And that's not all. I want to live inside of you. I want to be so close to you. I want to be closer to you than your own thoughts. I want to be closer to you than your own feelings. I want to be connected with you in the most intimate way possible. Not in your imagination, but in my imagination. In my imagination, the most intimate way possible. And I am going to come to live inside of you, and we are going to share life together. I'm going to share your life every moment of every day while you're waking, while you're sleeping, and I'm going to let you share my life with me. I'm going to open you up to be able to experience the life that comes from me, the life that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have enjoyed for all of eternity. And I want you to be a part of that. And I'm going to give you a foretaste of it while you're on earth. I'm going to give you samples of it, like cooking a cake in the batter and you let the kid lick the spoon. I'm going to give you some samples of what is to come. And then one day, you're going to see me face to face. One day, you're going to get a new body. One day, you won't have to deal with some of this stuff that makes you behave destructively and shockingly and grotesquely and mean sometimes, just grumpy and bad. He called us to belong to his forever family. Sometimes I wonder why God created people. We can be such a headache. I mean, I see the horrors in the headlines, and I SMH. You know, Facebook, social media, SMH. What does that mean? I shake my head. What were you thinking, God? I can't take us. I can't. I've got to turn it off. I've got to unplug. And you are watching this 24/7, 365. And you've been watching it since man was placed on this planet. You've been watching it from Eden till today. What were you thinking? And then I see spectacular artistry like that on America's Got Talent. And then I see beauty. And then I hear arresting melodies that someone composed, like the ones that Laverne and I listened to this past month when we went to a string quartet named the Kennedy String Quartet in a candlelight presentation that they gave, and listened to that arresting music and just thought, what beauty. Or I see an Olympic athlete like Simone Biles. Or I see Sydney McLaughlin Leveroni. And my mouth is just agape. She's a hurdler and sprinter. Best of all, she's an outspoken sister in the Lord who stands up and stands out and speaks for the Lord Jesus, she and her husband. I'm running for his glory. I'm running for his glory. I look at literature. I look at technology. And I think about the quote from Shakespeare's Macbeth where he says, what a piece of work is man. How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable. In action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. That's us at our best. And then I think about you all. I think about you. I see your faces. Yesterday at our men's meeting, as we partook of food and drink and laughter, and as we talked about how to solve all the world's problems and became masters of our fates, a spontaneous brotherhood boost broke out. And we were affirming one another, and we were just talking about what we appreciate about each other, the uniqueness of one another. And it went around the table. Nobody prompted it, it just happened. Talking about the various effects, the beauty of one another. And this morning, to kick off our series, I want to elaborate on something I shared during this time yesterday. So today's message, if you're taking notes, today's message is titled, Being Content, But Not Satisfied. Being Content, But Not Satisfied. And our text is from the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 12 and 13. Being content, but not satisfied. Philippians 4, 12 through 13. And the word of the Lord says, I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Stop there for a moment. I want you to just try for a moment. I know that's a familiar passage. That's why I want to stop for a moment. And I want to ask you to take a minute and try to digest what Paul just said here. And I want you to think of it as a real place and not just hyperbole, not just poetry, not just literature, not just artistry, not Paul just having a moment. I want you to think about what he just wrote there. I know what it is. I know what it is to be in need. Do you think Paul knows what it means to be in need? You think he knows it as well as you know it? Think he's writing from a place of genuine experience and truth and testimony? Or is he just saying something because it sounds good? No, I know. Let me tell you, you got some needs? I know what it's like to be in need. And I also know what it's like to be in plenty. I know what it's like to have a whole bunch. I know what it's like to kick off my shoes and put my feet up and feel the luxury of life. I know what that feels like too. So it's not sour grapes where I never had it. Oh no, I've had it. I've had need and I've had plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. You see, discontent doesn't only happen when you have a lack. See what I'm saying? It doesn't only happen. He didn't say I know how to be I know how to be content when I ain't got nothing. No, I know how to be content when I have very little. And I also know how to be content when I have a whole lot. Because I know a whole bunch of people who have a whole lot, but they're not content. But I know the secret of being content, whether I have a lot or whether I have nothing, little, paucity, scarcity, barely making it. So the secret is revealed in the very next verse, verse 13. What's the secret, Paul? Tell me that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul's secret was not a method. His secret wasn't something he read in a book about how to be content. His secret was not a formula. It wasn't a mindset. It wasn't a spiritual discipline. It wasn't where he went off and went into training to learn how to control his appetites. That's not the secret. Wasn't a method, not a formula, not a mindset, not a discipline. It stemmed from a relationship with the living Christ. And that relationship alleviated the constant cravings for more by providing a fullness of soul that transcended his circumstances. That's what the secret was. I have a Christ who is my all and all, who is everything to me. That is the secret of my contentment. So there's no magic in this. This fullness doesn't come from acquiring more, but from knowing the living Christ himself. The strength that Christ provides. When we talk about him providing the strength, and when Paul speaks about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he's not talking about a supernatural zapping from on high, where I've got this craving and all of a sudden God just zaps me and I'm all of a sudden, whoa, I'm content. Whoa. That's not what he's talking about. It is much more personal, much more organic, and it is a growth process. It's not a zapping. It's a growth process as we grow in our understanding of that Christ, as we grow in our connection with that Christ, as we grow in our understanding of that love that we cannot explain. As that takes grip and roots in our lives and begins to grow, we simply realize we've got something better than all of that. And while we can appreciate it, we know how to live with it. We know how to live without it. We know how to enjoy it without expecting it to do more than it can do. We're not trying to draw life from it. We've got another life source that we're drawing from. And this is an accessory. This is not the heartbeat of my life. The strength that he provides comes from an ever deepening connection with him. And I pray for all of us this day that God would just bless us with a fresh realization of this wonderful secret. I know you know it. I know you've heard it. I know you believe it. I'm asking God to help us to understand it clearly, much more clearly, to realize it in a fresh way, to embody it, to embrace it, and to have it spill out of our lives in ways that are unexpected and glorious, and that surprise us and make us fall more in love with the one, more in love with the one who is all that. Contentment is a treasure. More is a treadmill. It is. Contentment is a treasure. More, it's a treadmill. You never get to the end of it. It never stops. You run the rest of your life. I remember my son when he was just a little thing. He came up to me one day and said, "Dad, he was like 5 or 6. He said, what's the one thing that you can't have, Dad?" I said, "What?" He said, "More." He said, "Because the minute that you get that, there's more. So you can't ever get more. More is a treadmill." And what I mean by that, I'm talking about more in the sense of worldly remedies, money, fame, accomplishments. What have you done for me lately? Amen? What have you done for me lately? What is that? That's more calling. You know, the UCLA Bruins basketball team won 7 consecutive national championships under John Wooden. 7 consecutive national championships. That will never, ever, ever be matched again. But do you know what they said to them after they won number 7? Guess. Come on, you know. Can you get number 8? Can you get number 9? Can you get number 10? It's a treadmill. My aspirations for myself and my aspirations for you before the Lord, they are very, very high. The things that I am asking God for in my life, the qualitative things that I am asking God for in my life. I'm not talking about the material things and all. I'm talking about the qualitative things I want to see happening in my life are high. They are far beyond what I can do. And my aspirations for you are high. Far beyond what you can do. But any aspiration, even godly ones, without contentment, can become a snare. You hear what I'm saying? Even if you want to be all that for God, Without contentment, it can become a snare. It can make us harsh. It can make us irritable. It can make us frustrated. It can make us discouraged. It can make us uncompassionate when we don't see the results we want. Either outward results in ministry or in our personal lives or in our relationship with God. I like what it says in 1 Timothy 6:6. It says these amazing words: godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness without contentment becomes a snare. Godliness without contentment can become hypocrisy. Godliness without contentment can become judgment. Godliness without, and it's godliness really in quotes, because true godliness carries with it contentment. Godliness with contentment. Is great gain. So let me give you some things to focus on regarding this theme. When I talk about being content but not satisfied, be content but not satisfied with your walk with the Lord. You see, we're starting off this series on the church, and I want to start with this first point about your relationship with the Lord, because that's where everything starts. As goes your relationship with Christ, so goes Valley Brook. There's no sense in talking about the church if we don't start there, because that is the starting point for all good things. All things related to church start with your relationship with Christ. It doesn't start with our vision. It doesn't start with our plans. It doesn't start with how well we're doing our program. It doesn't start with how many ministries we have in place. That's not the starting point. It starts with you, and it starts with me and him. That's where it starts. You want a healthy church? You need to have healthy members who have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you got a headache. You got a nice decor, you got nicely dressed people, you got smart people, attractive people, cute people. But you got a mess. Because their hunger is all over the place. Their hunger for attention. Hunger for recognition, and their jealousy over somebody else, their territorialism. All these things start popping up, slandering one another. Somebody talking about somebody over here, and somebody over there talking about somebody over there, backbiting, all those things. Be content. Not satisfied with your walk with the Lord. What do I mean by that? When I hear you all talk about where you want to be with the Lord, where you want to go, it just fills my heart with joy. It does. When I sit down and I talk with you all at breakfast, or you send me an email, when we sit down after church, wherever we are, when I hear you talk about where you want to go with the Lord, it just fills my heart with joy. And I'm just me. I'm just your pastor. And it fills my heart with joy. Can you imagine what it does to the heart of the Lord? To see into your heart and to see your aspiration for him and your desire. And to be able to understand it, where you may not be able to explain it to anybody else. You don't need to explain it to him. He sees it. He knows it. Can you imagine what that does to his heart? If nothing else comes to mind today or lodges in your heart, thank you, Lord, for your sustaining power. That's what I said this morning to the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, as I'm giving thanks, if nothing else comes to mind for which I can give you thanks this morning, thank you for your sustaining power. You guys heard me talk about my faith being like a stallion, and I'm wondering what happened to my stallion. Well, if my stallion is strong and rearing and kicking and healthy, the Lord is my horse whisperer. It's because of him. He has nurtured and sustained my faith. He has nurtured and sustained your faith. You've been through some stuff, and here you are listening. You're going through some stuff right now, and here you are listening. Not everybody has a hunger for God. You know that? Not everybody has a hunger for God. They have a need for God, but they don't always have a hunger for God. If you desire more of him, it's because God has brought you into his marvelous light, just like Deacon Robert Craig spoke about last week. So here's the thing. Appreciate that hunger. Appreciate that hunger and don't be frustrated by your appetite. Appreciate the hunger that's in your heart to want to experience more of him or be more. All those spiritual desires, don't be frustrated because you're not there. Be thankful that God has given you the desire to be there. That's how you nurture contentment. Give thanks for the fact that that is in your heart to want to be. Praise him for putting it there. Say, Lord, you are glorious that you could make me want this, me? That you could sustain this desire within me. Thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit being at work in me. The fact that I even see this to even want it. That's you. That is how you nurture contentment in your walk with the Lord and not get frustrated by your appetite. I told the Lord as I was writing in my journal something I had written for many times before. I said, the fact that I find myself writing these same words or similar ones, the fact that I keep on writing these same old words or similar ones day after day, that's indicative of your faithfulness to me. My redundancy, my redundancy is an altar to your care for me. I keep on saying the same things over and over again because the same things are true over and over again. And they're true over and over again because you've sustained that in me. Be content where you are, but don't be satisfied. Here's where that comes in. Know that there's more. Know that he's offering you more. Know that he wants to be more. Don't just settle in and think this is as good as it gets. Realize that there is so much more that he wants you to experience in your relationship with him. Give thanks for what he's given you. Give thanks for the hunger that he's placed within you for more. He placed the hunger in you for more because there is more. And he wants you to have that. So thank him for the abundance of appetite, of desire, of hunger. And don't be frustrated by the appetite. Be content where you are, but don't be satisfied. Be content with progress and don't hold out for perfection. Don't hold out.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't hold out for perfection. Hear what I'm saying? Celebrate progress. I'm in a different place today than I was yesterday. I'm looking back over my life and I'm thinking things that I didn't think before. Some of that other stuff creeps in at times, but I'm thinking more noble thoughts. My desires are being purified day by day. I'm changing. I'm never going to be the same again. Never going to be the same again. I'm not where I want to be. But I'm not where I used to be. Thank God for where I am, Lord. And for your faithfulness. You see, the reason why I'm not where I used to be is because you came back there and got me. You came back and got me. I didn't one day say, you know what, I don't want to be here. Let me get on out of this place. No, 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 no. You came back here and got me. And you took me by the arm. You put your arms around me and you escorted me to where I am. And guess what? You're not going to let go of me. So what I see ahead, we're going there too. So this is just a spot on the journey. And I'm not going to be frustrated because the one who brought me from here is with me here. And he will be with me there. And therefore, I'm content where I am. And I'm not frustrated about where I need to be. You hear what I'm saying? You see, the secret is in the one who's with you. The secret is in the one who's in you. The secret is the one who will never leave you. That's the secret. Don't hold out for perfection or you'll be waiting until Jesus comes back. You will be. You'll be waiting for Jesus to come back to feel good about your spiritual place. Thank God for where you are. And then ask him for a holy greediness for more of him. You know, that's the one thing that you can be greedy about. It's sanctified greediness. You can say, Lord, I want more. Thank you for what I got. But that's the one thing where you're just craving for more, where you're not just being selfish. There's no toxicity to that. There's no downside to that request. In fact, it's written in the scripture. Paul says, I pray that you would know him better. Paul said of himself, I want to know Christ. I know him. I've seen him. I've been to the third heaven. I heard him speak to me. He appeared to me in a light that's brighter than the sun and spoke to me. Oh, I know he's there. And he's touched my life and he turned me around. I was a Christian hating demon. And he came into my life and made me something that I'm not. I'm forever. I've been captured by a love I can't explain. And I am never going to be the same again. But I want more. But I want more. I want more, Jesus. I'm thankful. I'm content. But I want more. A holy greediness. A holy greediness. Sometimes I express that greediness to the Lord with words like, good morning, Lord. What are you up to today? And how can I be part of it? You got a plan. You got a plan for this world. You got a plan for me. What are you up to? And how can I be part of it? Call me. Be content where you are, but don't be satisfied. Hope in God for better. I did some writing while I was taking my August break. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't teaching Sunday school. I wasn't teaching Bible study, so it had to go somewhere. So you get to hear some of what I was thinking while I was off. I wrote this, I called it Spiritual Thoughts of an Older Man. Not an old man, an older. Spiritual Thoughts from an Older Man. This is just my personal meditation with the Lord. I said, I was once young, and now I'm an older man. Who finds himself caught up in first love affection. first love affection and attraction towards the Lord. Not due to the newness of our relationship. I've been doing this a long time. Not to due to any merit on my part. Not because I'm so righteous and holy, so spiritually superior, but because of the many years of his steadfast love and kindness towards me. Through shared life experiences, that are ranging from the heavenly heights of happiness. Here we go. To the utter depths of despair. To the utter depths of despair. And I know that I'm not unique in this experience. Countless songs, meditations, poems, testimonials, and sermons written by men and women throughout the centuries attest to the unsearchable riches of his grace towards us in Christ Jesus. Grace that is worthy to be celebrated and proclaimed to the whole world. Grace that I rejoice in today and I proclaim to the world. A love I can't explain, y'all. It's real. It's true. It's unchanging. It's unfathomable. Lord, you are so much greater than my words. So much greater than my walks. You fill heaven and earth. Laverne said to me, you know, we have these conversations. And she said to me, you know, when I think about how the Lord is working in us and how he's releasing the person that we were meant to be, when I think about that, I think, you know what? He's doing therapy with us all the time. Yeah, he is. He's doing therapy with us all the time. And she says, but a therapist primarily works with our minds. The Lord provides therapy to our hearts. I'm like, wow, that is the truth. That's where he's at work. It's not just a mental change. It's a heart change. It's a spiritual change. It's a lasting, deep, supernatural, non-human thing. That's the kind of therapy. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of flesh, the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Outstanding. A therapist tries to learn who we are through conversation. But the Lord knows exactly who we are without a word coming from our lips. He doesn't ask questions to discover us. He asks questions to enlighten us. Because he already knows the answers. His questions are to enlighten us to Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? To Adam, where are you? You think he didn't know? To Job, where were you when? To Jonah. Do you have good reason to be angry? I didn't wipe out Nineveh. You're sitting up here under these trees, brooding and mad. Do you have good reason to be angry, Jonah? Do you think the Lord didn't know the answer? He asked questions to help us to discover ourselves. To enlighten us. The disciples were talking about who was the greatest as they were in a boat going somewhere. And they were mumbling back there and not wanting Jesus to hear them. And Jesus says, what were you discussing? What were you guys talking about back there? The scripture moves on. No response from them. The point, he knows what we need to see, what we need to hear. He knows what we need to experience to get us to where he wants us to be. So be content with his work in you. Give him praise for his work in you. Don't be frustrated about what you're not. Be thankful for where you are and aspire to be more. But don't get caught up in judging yourself for where you are. He's not. Why are you? He's not. Why are you? Why are you? Thank you, Lord, that you are at work in me to will and to work for your good pleasure. That's the truth. That's what your word says. Thank you, Lord, that you are transforming me from glory to glory. That's what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Your word says that we are all being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we were predestined to be conformed to the image. Did you know that? Predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's where you're going. Thank you, Lord. That's the blueprint. That's the map. That's the road ahead. In this place, let me be content by being grateful and trusting in the one who brought me from back there to right here. And who says, I'm not going to leave you. We're going to keep on going. I have on my watch a bunch of little sayings. And one of them is, I am going forward with you. I am going forward with you. I am looking forward to what God has in store for me. I'm looking forward to that. Because the secret's with me. And I know that he has a plan for me, both in terms of how I am before the foundation of the world. He knew exactly what he was going to make me to be. And he hasn't stopped. So thank you, Lord, for where I am today. I want to be content. And at the same time, I want more. This is only part one. Next week is part two. I'm done.